Turn with me, if you would, to the second portion of God's word that we read together in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And if we can read the words that we have in verse 12. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" The question that David asks, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? We very often, as you know, try to associate the morning preaching with that of the evening. And this morning we saw how the Ark of the Covenant is down in Kirjath Jearim in the house of Abinadab, and how the Lord's people came to return to the Lord, how they lamented the state of things. David recognized that. David here recognizes that the ark needs to be brought down. And we have the account here of the first attempt that is made to bring the ark home. And it leaves David with a question. How can I bring the ark of the Lord home to me? Because his first attempt is an utter failure. It's a failure. The furthest he gets is to get the ark out of the house of Abinadab and transfers it as he goes along down to the house of Obed-Edom. It's as far as he gets. And it leaves him with this question. Now we want to look at six things that the attempt that is made here. Because David was displeased because the Lord had slain Uzzah, had made a breach. David wasn't happy. He was displeased that this had taken place. And when you look at the six things that I've noted six things, but there may be more than that, but there are six things on the face of it here that you would say to yourself, I can understand why David would be displeased. I can perhaps understand how David is displeased. Six things that we would see this evening that characterize this first attempt to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. And the first is the intention. The intention that David had. You notice here, he says, "Let us bring again the Ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." Verse 3. David's intention is to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to where it should be. From the time of Eli, when the Philistines took the Ark away, right down through the time of Saul, the Ark is not where it should be. It's David that wants the ark to come back. The Ark of the Covenant should be under the mercy seat. The ark with the table of the law, Aaron's rod and such like, in under the mercy seat. It was the place, it was to be at the place where God met with his people. In many respects, it was the symbol of God's presence with his people. Just, I think, as the gospel today is the mark of God's people with his people with the presence of God with his people. The place for the blood, the mercy seat. That's why it's so important that today we preach the gospel. That is why today it is so sad in places where you see the gospel being cast aside. It's the gospel that is the glorious sign that God is with his people. Because it's pointing, and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is pointing to the coming Christ, the high priest, the mercy seat, and the sprinkling of the blood. Well, David knew that the Ark of the Covenant should be down. Initially, it should have been in the tent. But now that the city of David, David knew that that's where the covenant should be. And he had a good intention. It was his intention, his desire, that the Ark of the Covenant would be brought down from Kirjath Jearim, from the home of Abinadab, and be brought back to Jerusalem. What better intention could there be? What better purpose could there be than for David to desire such a good thing? It was not only a good thing, it was a godly thing. He was desiring something that was absolutely right. God put it in his heart that the ark, in fact, David's desire was that ultimately he would build a house for God. And the Ark of the Covenant would be in God's house at Jerusalem. Here was a wonderful, godly, good intention. But intentions can fail. Even good intentions, even godly intentions, can come to nothing. David's good intention, the intention of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, placing it in the house of God, ultimately failed. Ultimately failed. That's the first thing. His intention was a good intention. But secondly, I want you to notice that when you look at this bringing the ark down, it wasn't just an intention that David has. It actually united the whole of the children of Israel. How often do you find the children of Israel being divided? They were divided over David king for 7 years. There was a division there. And then later on, you find there's a great division between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Sometimes you had divisions among the different tribes, but not here. Not in this. Look what David said. David consulted with the captains and thousands of thousands and hundreds and with every leader, says in verse 1. Every single leader. It says that even the Levites, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they might gather themselves to us. And all the congregation, it says in verse 4, all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Here was something that united God's people. They're wonderful, isn't it, when you come to the Old Testament, to God's people, and all that the divisions that there may have been, yet here was one time where the whole of the congregation, the leaders of the people, the congregation itself, the priests and the Levites, they were all one in this enterprise. It's very commendable, isn't it? Here is a good intention, a godly intention, an intention that's to be commended. And it's an intention that David puts out to all the children of the congregation, and they all put their own amen to it. The good one, you know, good one, when God's people, even today, would come to unite in one thing. It's good. Because that's what happened here. But the fact that the children of Israel were all united in this good intention, the fact that the people, the congregation, and all the leaders were all united, that didn't mean to say that it succeeded. Even with all the congregation united, in one mind, the enterprise failed. It's singularly, you begin to see David here later on. Later on, wondering, how am I going to get this ark back to Jerusalem? So that's the second thing. They were all united. But the third thing you'll notice is that it wasn't just that they were wanting this to take place. They weren't just hearers of the word. They were doers of it. They were doers of the word. notice here, so David gathered all Israel together from Shehor of Egypt, even unto the entering in of Hamath, to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim, verse 5. In other words, they came from all the parts. Even at the extended parts of Israel, they came. You imagine the distance that some of these people had to come in order to fulfill this. They weren't people who were just saying, yes, things are very bad. They were actually going to get up and do something about it. And they came all the way down, right down to Kirjath-Jearim from all over Israel. That would have been a journey for quite some of them. You see, this was a good enterprise. This was something that they wanted. This was something that they weren't now going to just sit back and hope would happen itself. They actually now, they came from all the parts of Israel. He gathered all Israel together. They were coming from all the different parts of Israel, coming a great distance, because they wanted this to happen. There was, in many respects, a zeal. There was, in many respects. You'd have to be zealous for this. If you're going to leave your home, you're going to travel all the way out through the countryside, come all the way down to Kirjath-Jearim, from the very borders of Egypt, the outer parts that God had given to the children of Israel, to come down into Kirjath-Jearim to make sure that the Ark of the Covenant was taken to Jerusalem. They had zeal. They just didn't speak about it. They actually did it. They came from all the parts. David gathered them all. But for all their zeal, still failed. They still failed. They had good intentions, wonderfully good intentions. They were united. The whole tribe, all the tribes were united in this. And they actually did something about it. They gathered together from all the parts of Israel. And yet, it still failed. And then you notice the fourth thing, that they got a new cart, an oxen. You see, for the children of Israel here, they weren't going to put the Ark of the Covenant onto some tatty old cart. They wouldn't show disrespect. They wouldn't show disrespect to this, to the Ark of the Covenant. We are told here, and we're told in First Samuel, tells us as well that recounting the same thing, that it's a brand new cart. I wonder if David or someone has said, if we are going to shift this Ark of the Covenant, we are not going to put it in some tatty old cart. That would be disrespectful to God's Ark. Let's make a new cart. Let's make it brand new. And let's get oxen. And let us bring oxen, that we would get two strong oxen that would pull, that we would get oxen that would pull the cart. Perhaps someone would say, well, what about the cost of a new, do we need a new cart? What about the cost of a new cart? It doesn't matter. There's going to be a new cart made to take the Ark of the Covenant. You see, it's as if they couldn't spare, they wouldn't spare anything. They wouldn't spare anything in putting this Ark onto a new cart. It would be the best cart that they could have. And it would be oxen that would be pulling the cart. And yet, it failed. Yet it failed. They've got good intention. They're all united around it. They are all there. They're doing something about it. They got a new cart, possibly made for the very occasion. And yet it failed. You begin to say to yourself, well, wait a minute. Maybe David here, you can understand why David is a bit angry at this. Because it failed.
It was a failure.
The fifth thing that perhaps you might notice in this is they got the best men to drive the cart. Who was it that was going to drive this cart? Well, we are told they carried the Ark of God and a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Oh, Uzzah and Ahio were the sons of Abinadab. Who better to drive the cart and to be responsible for this new cart than two sons of Abinadab? Who could you have better? And after all, Abinadab showed respect to the Ark of the Covenant. And here are the descendants of Abinadab. We're told in Samuel that these were the two sons of Abinadab, or descendants of Abinadab. Who would be better to drive the cart than these two men, Uzzah and Ahio? Why? It's almost as though they are chosen for the task. They're chosen for the task. The best men possible, and yet it failed. How are we going to get the Ark of the Covenant down from the house of Abinadab? How are we going to get it now from Obed-Edom down to Jerusalem when we have this great intention, when we are all united together, when we're all there wanting it to happen, when we have a new cart, an oxen, and we have the best men to drive it? And there's one other thing. The sixth thing is this. This was an occasion of great joy. An occasion of great joy. Look at verse 8. David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with the timbrel and with cymbals and with trumpets. This was a great joy to God's people. It's a great joy for the Lord's people to see this, the ark now beginning to move and to come down out of the house of Abinadab, to come from Kirjath-Jearim. As soon as it begins to move, they're rejoicing. It's a cause of great joy to them. But yet it failed. And David, we are told that David was displeased because the Lord brought judgment upon Uzzah. Surely such an occasion of great joy to God's people would be a time that should be commended. Why would God's anger and judgment come upon them in such a day? Why did it fail? Why did it fail? It never failed because of... Why did it fail? Why was it that this whole enterprise failed? Well, you might say to yourself, it failed because of Uzzah. The oxen stumbled, and Uzzah puts his hand forward and touches the ark, holds up the ark, and God's judgment comes upon him. And you say, there's the answer. My friend, that's not the answer. It is not because of Uzzah that God's judgment comes upon them at this time. And I think David recognizes that. Because if it was just because of Uzzah, then they could have buried Uzzah where he was and carried on their journey. They didn't. They put the Ark of the Covenant at that point into the house of Obed-Edom. That's where it happened, Obed-Edom, next to there. They put the Ark in there, and David leaves it off. You see, I think David knows that there's more to this than just Uzzah stretching forth his hand. Let's go back through the six points that I've tried to bring out here this evening and look at them one at a time again. The intention. The intention is nothing wrong with the intention. In fact, the first three, there's nothing wrong with the first three. That's not why it never succeeded. The first three, the intention was good, and that intention remained. 3 months later, the Ark of the Covenant is taken down to Jerusalem. The intention remains. God does not condemn them because they have a good intention to bring the Ark of the Covenant back home. That's not the problem. Neither is it the fact that the whole of Israel and the nation and the congregation and their leaders are all united in this good thing. Later on, 3 months, they are just as committed. That's not what's wrong. That's not what's wrong with this. And they are all there. They are willing to get up and do. That's not wrong. It's 3 months' time, it's the same again. Where does it go wrong? It goes wrong because from beginning to end, this is nothing but will worship. This is nothing but will worship. This is nothing but a defiance of God. That's why God, Uzzah is but a symptom. Uzzah is but a symptom. Let us look at the new cart and the oxen. Where do you find in God's word anywhere where it says in the law that's given to Moses that the Ark of the Covenant can be placed on the back of a cart, old or new, rickety or otherwise? Where do you find it? Well, if you go back to 1 Samuel, chapter 6, and you will find reference to putting the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. Where is it? It's the Philistines. If you look at the Ark is returned to Israel, how do the Philistines return the Ark to Israel? It says here, now therefore make a new cart. This is the Philistines. Make a new cart and take 2 milch kine on which there have been no yoke. Take the Ark of the Lord, lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which return for a trespass offering, and so on. You see, God's people are simply mimicking the pagan worship. It's the Philistines that put the Ark of the Covenant on an ark. On a cart. And in actual fact, it's a poor imitation. Because the Philistines, they put gold and all the rest of it on with it. When they returned the ark down to Kirjath-Jearim, they sent it back in a new cart with oxen and all the gold and everything. And now the children of Israel are doing exactly the same thing. They have taken the ark and put it upon a new cart. How often do God's people imbibe the false worship of pagan religion and think that God is going to accept that? Just because it's a good intention. Just because the whole of Israel are united in it, God is not in it though. Because God's word has never said anything about putting the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, an old cart, or on any cart driven by an ox. God's people are united in this good intention, and they are up and doing, but they're embracing pagan religion in the midst of it. How often does the church do that? We will worship. Worshipping the way the world says we should worship, rather than worshiping as God commands us to worship. And then you have the two men, Uzzah, and in fact, when you go to it, it's interesting that what begins the judgment on Uzzah is the stumbling of the ox. It's as though God is saying to them, you put that ark on the and pull it with an ox, and the ox will stumble. You'll fail because of the ox. Doesn't matter whether it's a new cart, whether it's a cart that will hold, the ox will stumble And it's as though God is telling them, you need to go back to my word and find out how it is that you carry my ark. The ox stumbles. Then you come to the two men who have been appointed by David and by Israel. They were the men that no doubt came to their mind. Who are we going to have to bring this ark down into Jerusalem? Uzzah and Ahio, they are the sons of Abinadab. They are the most eminent men to do it. My friend, once again, the Lord is saying, when did I ever say that my ark has to be carried by anyone else but the Levites? The Levites are to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They are to do it. You see, once again, it's just will worship. It's just they will bring the Ark down into Jerusalem the way they think it should be done. But it's not the way the Lord has said that they should do it. The two men, these men are there, but they're not God's men. You go to the law of Moses, how are they to lift the ark? It is the Levites who are to lift the ark of the covenant. David comes on later on in the text, which, how shall we bring the ark of God home to me? 3 months later, David has learned his lesson. He goes to the word of God. He inquires of God, not how do I think this should be done, but what does God say? And he, what does he do? They come to the house of Obed-Edom, a Levite. And there they get the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And they went a few steps, and then they worshipped, just to be certain. They worshipped, they walked a few steps, and then offered another sacrifice, just to be certain. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant down by the means in which God himself appointed. That was through the Levites. We've got the six things. Remember the first three. God has no problem, I don't think, with the first three. Their intention, they're all united, their zeal, but that zeal must be according to knowledge. Where they fail is the way in which they carry it out. The new cart looks good, doesn't it? New cart, big oxen, looks good. That's not God's way, though. The two men, Uzzah and Ahio, the most appropriate men, looks good, but they're not God's men. And the sixth one is their joy and their happiness. How they are rejoicing and everything else. But you see, their joy is short-lived because God's judgment comes upon them. You see, when man begins to think that he can do better than God, when man begins to think that he can do things contrary to God, there may for a time be joy, but my friend, it's short-lived because God's judgment will come upon the children of Israel. Later, when 3 months later, David discovers how to bring it down. Where does he get it? Where does he discover how it is that the ark is to come down into Jerusalem? He discovers it in the word of God. You see, David's practice was to consult with God. David's practice wasn't just to go and consult with all the children of Israel and all the leaders and get their consent. David's practice was to come and seek the mind of the Lord. And if he had done that at the beginning, the Ark of the Covenant would have come down and been in Jerusalem. But because he doesn't inquire of what God has said, God's judgment comes upon Uzzah. Uzzah's just a symptom. He's just a symptom. The ox that stumbles. In God's providence, that's telling David, David, the ox and this cart are wrong. Uzzah puts his hand out. He wasn't to touch the ark. He touched it, and God's judgment is brought upon him. I mean, sometimes God's judgment is brought immediately. Sometimes God's judgment is stayed. Here it is brought immediately, so that David and the children of Israel would learn that they must come and hear what God says in his word. When we don't listen to what God says in his word, when we cast God's word aside and do simply what we think ought to be done, as is happening so often in many places, then it will bring God's judgment. It won't bring a blessing. It will bring God's judgment, as it did. When you come later on, and perhaps next week we'll maybe look at how David does bring the ark down. You see, it's completely different. David now knows how the ark is to come down. David said, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" David, the answer is there, staring you in the face. Go to the law of Moses. Go to what God has said to you. And if you go the way the Lord commands you, then you will have the ark brought home. 3 months later, that's exactly what David does. And that brings a joy that is not just temporal. That's not just a joy that you see him here for a moment and then all of a sudden God's judgment and the joy turns to ruin. And they put the ark into the house of Obed-Edom. The joy that later he has is a joy because his intention, his purpose is brought to pass. That God's people that are united together in wanting it, and they all do something about it. But when they do something about it the next time, they're doing it according to God's way. That's what we need, isn't it? The church to return back to God's way, to learn that it's God's way, not our way. It's the way that God commands us, not the way we think it ought to be, but the way God tells us it should be. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray.